Welcome to Fun with Scotch and Other Fine Spirits. I'm Judy.
I'm John.
I'm Marlis.
Today we are doing episode 55 and we will be talking to David Suk from St. Luna Spirits and asking him some questions about their charcoal filtered moonshine. Hi, David.
Hello, lovely to meet you all.
Nice to meet you too. I'm Judy and this is...
I'm John.
I'm Marlis.
Marlis. So I don't know if you've heard any of our episodes, but we're pretty informal and off the cuff usually. Where'd the questions go?
Okay,
oh, there they are.
You put them in the folder.
I'm sorry.
I think I'm ready for what you all throw at me.
Okay.
All right.
So we appreciate you being with us. I do actually have one question before we start questioning. Okay.
Something like that.
This came with the moonshine. What is it?
Yes. So that is a grapefruit oleosaccharum.
Okay. I guessed right. Okay.
Yeah. So it should. Hopefully it's still good. But that is basically you take macerated grapefruit peels. So it's three grapefruits cut up, the peels. Covered in a raw sugar, like turbinado, and you let that sit for 2 days until all the oils of the peels extract, and then you add a cup of fresh grapefruit juice and some boiling water to dissolve all the sugar, and you have like a really fantastic syrup. So that we did because it's easier to have that with the moonshine, in case you wanted to make a drink, it's all sort of pre-measured for you. Mm-hmm. And then you top that up with the grapefruit seltzer, and it's a beautiful twist on a Paloma.
Okay, got it. Mm-hmm. Well, we have all our ingredients here, yeah, so we will be doing
we
that
did,
when
I,
we
yeah. taste. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually lost the bag of moonshine at one point because I put it in a safe place.
Yeah.
And I was going...
It was very safe.
It was very, very safe from everyone. And we did finally, it's like, how am I going to explain this to them if I didn't, I was like, I can't tell them I drank it all or anything. So, but we did find it. So that's great. But I did.
Believe it or not.
Yeah.
We leave things at bars and restaurants all the time, little samples, and people behind the bar just drink them because it's so tasty.
As well they should.
That's nice. Well, maybe that was what happened is I hid it from myself. Okay, so I'm actually going to do a kind of a combination, I think, of the suggested questions from Sam, and some of our questions are similar to what Sam, but I think the first question is... a good one. How did you come up with the idea to create moonshine?
Yeah, so I will try to give you the condensed version. So It was Thanksgiving a number of years ago, and I had been running a company making and selling baby blankets. So I had done that for quite a number of years. I was their chief operating officer, actually. And I started with that company when I was in my early 20s. So I always knew I had a lot more entrepreneurial spirit left in me. So you know how you're always on the hunt for sort of what your idea could potentially be? And you just wait for inspiration to strike? It did. It happened to be Thanksgiving. And I was hosting. So admittedly, I was drinking way more than I probably should have. Because you're cooking for 40 people, half of whom you really can't stand anyway, because it's just, that's just how the family dynamic works out, right? Mm-hmm. So I had been joking about starting a high-end edibles company called Budding Gourmet, actually. sort of what Martha Stewart is doing now, but many years prior when it still wasn't really legal at all.
Yeah.
And somebody had joked and said, well, they always say, do what you know, and we laughed. That it should be an alcohol business. And, I woke up the next morning and thought to myself, I realistically don't have the millions and millions of dollars other people have to differentiate themselves. So why not sort of take a category that needs a bit of revitalization and modernize it? And that's what we did. I thought moonshine was a very underrepresented category. Mm-hmm. I thought we could make it modern and appeal to a whole different segment of both bars and restaurants and people that either were too afraid to try a moonshine or the aesthetic of a a moonshine that was produced years ago just didn't fit in a Michelin-starred restaurant, let's say. And I thought, I could carve that space out for myself and be super unique, be very niche, but at least unique and different. And I wouldn't need the millions that people typically have to build their brands and differentiate themselves.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Where actually is the distillery?
So we actually started, just to go back a little bit, so I had the idea, but I had absolutely no idea how to produce it. You know, I could tell you everything you want to know about how to make a baby blanket, because I'd done it for 12-some-odd years, but booze was a whole new industry for me. But coincidentally, I'm a huge believer that the universe just sort of gives you what you need at the time that you need it. And we were making bar soap, as it turns out, and the master chemist that was making our bar soap out of Memphis, as it turns out, had this master moonshine recipe that is St. Luna. So I had the chance to taste what he was producing and thought it was fantastic. So I ended up buying the recipe from him. And then shortly after, I ended up in Pittsburgh at the Small Batch Distillers Conference and found a husband and wife team out of North Carolina that could take his recipe and produce it for us. So our first couple of years, we actually distilled with Southern Distilling Company out of Statesville, North Carolina. But most recently, we found a distillery that is about an hour south of Chattanooga, which is where my other business partner lives, who created the St. Luna recipe. So this next batch will actually be produced at Brushy Mountain.
Oh, cool.
Interesting. Nice.
That fits somehow, you know, that it comes out.
Yeah.
Brushy Mountain, Tennessee. Yeah.
Really cool. So on the business side of things, I get to produce smaller batches more frequently so I can spread my cash out and not have to make these massive, massive buys. But on the fun, sort of quirky side, it's an old penitentiary, actually.
Oh, nice.
Interesting. Yeah.
I used to be in prison.
I
actually worked there. I didn't actually, yeah.
She was a prison librarian.
I was a prison librarian. So, yeah, I like to make the joke that I was in prison. But.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, we're going back. We're going back to Brushy Mountain Penitentiary, actually. And they've turned it into this fantastic distillery that we're now, we're set to actually distill in the next, 2 weeks because we've run pretty low on inventory.
Nice. Great. So how did you come up with the name St. Luna?
It gives you a nice ethereal feeling of the moon. So we hired a branding agency very early on to help us come up with the name and the label. And, you know, I'm a lot of things, but super creative and artistically talented is not one of them. So we let them sort of take our direction. We wanted something modern, something sophisticated, but approachable and not just, you know, too far out of reach for people. And, you know, I always sort of wanted, a piece of packaging that you'd walk into any bar in London and it would fit in.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Did you have a question?
It is. It's a nice looking bottle, nice looking label.
Oh,
it's good.
Thank you. Yeah. I wanted that heritage piece, that heritage piece of a moonshine to fit anywhere around the world. And, you know, I think that when moonshine first launched here in the United States and was commercialized, it did really well because there was a heritage piece to it. So I don't think people minded that it was in a very traditional mason jar type of packaging. When you start sort of playing internationally and at, you know, restaurants and bars that are Michelin starred and James Beard award winning chefs, that type of packaging doesn't work. And we thought, all right, well, let's go with something a bit sleeker, modern, a little bit more sophisticated, something that'll really stand out on that back bar.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So how long did it take to get everything started and, you know, to where you are today?
Realistically, it took a couple of years because you always, you know, you have the idea and you really need that push to sort of like leave the safety net of a gainfully employed job. And, you know, when you're earning good money, it's hard to sort of make the leap.
Yeah.
And so that took me a bit of time. And, you know, we'd sort of gone through a second round of private equity where I was. And I was no longer very happy there. And it was becoming more and more obvious to everybody, including myself.
Right.
And you have sort of moments where you wake up and you're just like, oh my God, if I don't make a change, you know, I'm never going to do it kind of a thing. And I did. And so I woke up that morning and called Scott, who was the Vanguard soap gentleman. Mm-hmm. And I just said, hey, you know, remember we talked about that moonshine about a year ago, I'd love to actually fly down and try it. And later that week I did. And I knew that was what, that was what our product was going to be. And then from there, I would say, you know, almost 2 years to really get started. And, you know, a year of that was the branding, the development, all of those bits and pieces that need to be done before you can start the legal side of things and actually getting your brand registered federally and getting your formulas and all of that registered and approved. And you have to get your labels approved. And so I'd say about 2 years once we actually got started.
Okay.
Sorry. I had a question in my head and then I forgot about it. So what have been some of your biggest wins since you launched?
You know, it's been one heck of a learning experience because I came from consumer product with, you know, at this size of our business, we would be a multi-million dollar business, and that's just not how it works in liquor. The rate of sale is just so much less than if I were able to sell my blankets at Target, let's say. So we're sort of learning and trying to educate ourselves on where we are in the market. Everybody tells us we're doing amazing and our volume is fantastic for where we are. You know, big wins. I launched with Jean-Georges Nougatine, so this Michelin-starred, world-renowned chef was one of the first customers I had in New York City, and I remember thinking to myself, if we can crack that, you know, we really can sort of take this moonshine upscale, because you know, a beautiful French Michelin-starred chef, employees only, was one of my first accounts, and we were hitting accounts that are just, you know, revered and prestigious, and they all loved what we were doing. You know, so I'd say those are some of the bigger wins.
Oh, that sounds great.
Nice.
It's always a learning experience, though. I mean, in my first year, I'm running the business very, very differently, you know, being in this 3 years versus when I first started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure things change over time.
You just learn. You just learn how the industry works, you know, more and more as you get out and you do it.
So I know that you, this is distilled somewhere else, but do you know, can you explain the process of making the moonshine, or is that a question for someone else?
No, I can, to the best of my ability, I can, without getting too technical, because that's not my side of the business, but our mash bill is 95% grade A molasses out of northern Florida and 5% rye. So all of that basically gets mashed up together. And then it's a single distillation. This at Statesville Southern Distilling Company, we run a 16-plate column still. And so you'd run it through once. So it was a single distillation and it was unaged. And then we'd actually run it through a charred oak stave to give it that nice bit of smoke and leather that you guys get on the finish. So you have that beautiful sort of grassy molasses hanging out on the front of your palate, whereas the pepper and the spice of that rye tend to hit the back of your palate. So you get this incredible mouthfeel from it, and then you get that smoke and that leather on the finish from that charred oak that we use. And that's about as complicated as it gets. And we use a reverse osmosis water process to proof it down, and all that really does is it takes all the taste out of the water. So no matter what water source you use, you always get a very consistent product. And then we bottle.
Cool.
Awesome. Nice.
We don't add anything. So we don't add sugar at the end. We don't add flavorings or anything. We want the spirit to really stand on its own.
Yeah, that's great.
So do you have a, maybe you said and I missed it, but a certain, I mean, how long do you age it before bottling and distributing?
It's not aged at all. It's completely unaged. And the only reason that we run it through that charred oak stave isn't really to clean the spirit up like you would think. It's more because we like that smoke and that leather that it gives the spirit on.
Okay. Nice.
That's great.
I think we're running out of questions, but if you haven't...
Oh, no. Well, I can talk about anything, so you just let me know.
Okay.
Are there any stories that you have to tell, that you have to share with us?
Oh, my goodness. Loads and loads. My business partners and I always joke. So I have a business partner, Aubrey, who helps me sell quite a bit. And we always sort of joke about all the places we've been chased out of.
Nice.
You know, you show up with your backpack and your, you know, your samples, and you're ready to try to find whomever the beverage director is. And you get that super curt, just get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
You know, that's happened quite a few times. You know, what's been happening lately, though, that has been pretty extraordinary to witness is when we go to taste somebody, they've actually tasted it before. In D.C. recently because we just launched the brand down there last month. And we were on a podcast down in D.C. The woman that owns the podcast owns quite a few restaurants in town. So we were at Union Market, and I walked up to one of the gentlemen behind the bar and just said, oh, hey, you know, who's the beverage director? As it turns out, it was him. So we start this fantastic conversation about St. Luna, and he's changing his menu up, and he goes, oh, I'm in the market for moonshine, believe it or not. And I pull up my bottle, and he goes, oh, I have that at home.
Nice.
Nice.
Cool. Yeah, a friend of his bought it in New York, and he was like, I love it. It's absolutely delicious.
That's great.
It's kind of fun to go from being an absolute novice in the industry and just, you know, pounding the pavement. Nobody knows who you are. And now all of a sudden, as we approach places, people have tried it and they like it, or they have a bottle at home. And, you know, that's been an exciting part of the journey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great.
So how widely available is it in the U.S.? Is it just basically on the Eastern Seaboard right now, or is it further out?
Mostly on the eastern side. I mean, really, we do very well in New York because that's what I'm closest to. Mm-hmm. Sorry, my dog's opened the door, so I'm going to close
them. God,
they want to participate. But mostly New York because that's where we have, that's where I live. I'm in Hoboken, just outside of New York and New Jersey. Aubrey is in the Bronx, so we pretty much have a solid penetration across New York and New Jersey. But on Drizzly, you could get it just about anywhere. You know, our website, lots of stores will ship. It's just unfortunate that you're paying, you know, the shipping fees and whatever local taxes they might have. So I know in some states it's pretty prohibitive.
Yeah.
Do you have enough volume to really distribute at, you know, like through some of the bigger retail stores, or is that still not possible?
We do. So we're at Total Wine. We're at the Total Wine in Claymont, Delaware.
Okay.
We work with Reserve Bar. Drizzly did a really great feature on us last Pride. We were just one of the few gay-owned and operated spirit brands, so they featured us. They have a campaign called Drink with Purpose, and we were part of that. We're on Caspers.com. Our own website actually will take orders, and we partner with a local liquor store. We sort of have a gentleman out west that runs that for us.
Nice.
Cool.
We're definitely expanding pretty rapidly, but it doesn't hurt to walk into your local liquor store or your favorite bar and ask for St. Luna.
Yeah.
Couldn't hurt.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Could you tell us more about the team that you've put together? You've mentioned some of them, but who all does it take to get this thing up and going?
Oh, definitely. It takes a decent amount of friends that are willing to work for very little or nothing.
Yeah. Okay.
Part of that being, so I just knew early on that I was going to need quite a bit of help. So one of my best friends, TJ, he joined the company part-time. He just, you know, when he's done with his day job, he kind of comes on at night and does all of our operations and our finance stuff. And I gave him a piece of the business to help us do that.
Mm-hmm.
Aubrey is more of our mixology sort of like street cred. Like, she's been in the business and the mixology side of things for, oh God, since the 90s. She's been bartending. absolute dynamo and powerhouse, and so she's on the team. Scott and his wife Paige are the master distillers, mm-hmm. and so they're the folks in Chattanooga that actually came up with this recipe. So they're on the team, and then I have a PR agent, Sam, who you have talked to, and yes. she just recently joined the team about 6 months ago.
That's okay. great. And I had a question. I forgot what it was.
Oh. Okay. Okay.
Who? Just keep talking while I think.
Yeah, I can think of some fun stories to tell. Mm-hmm. Now, it really has been pretty incredible to watch all of my friends circle around to just try to help, you know, and even friends that aren't part of the business, they're out asking for St. Luna at every liquor store they pass by.
Mm-hmm.
They make it a point of bringing us up. And, you know, it helps, because if I'm out there trying to sell, a liquor store wants to know that it's going to sell for them and that mm-hmm. people are asking for the brand. You know, sometimes it takes people, you know, they need to hear it two or three times before they make the jump to actually purchase it. So that's helped us tremendously. You know, I'm super grateful that TJ, Aubrey, Scott, Sam, everybody's jumped on board and that they all believe in the business and where it's going.
Yeah. Do you have anything new coming up with St. Luna, or are you just trying to stick with what you're doing now to build it?
Yeah, so Scott is the forever tinkerer. I mean, he's got patents up the wazoo. I mean, he's created new application soaps, and I mean, he's a really, really smart dude, and he's constantly tinkering around. So he's been aging St. Luna for us for a couple of months now, and he's been working on some fun sort of gin iterations and getting us ready to have a pipeline of new products that we could launch if we wanted to.
Oh, great.
I'm pretty much in the camp where we have so much distribution and ground to cover to just get the name of St. Luna out there that I kind of just want to compete with myself yet. So mm-hmm. I think that we probably have another year or so of just pounding the pavement and expanding distribution for what we're just doing now with St. Luna.
Well, I'm sure we're going to be following you and seeing if you have anything new coming out too. And we will definitely, you know, be whenever we go into our local liquor stores, we will say, hey, got any St. Luna?
Oh, that's right.
We will do that. So, David, what is your favorite cocktail to make with the moonshine?
Oh, my goodness. I have tons. I mean, I tend to drink it just neat or just with a little bit of ice and some bitters, because I often have to sip different cocktails throughout the week for work. And, you know, you're always tasting what somebody's created with your stuff, or we do a photo shoot and have to, you know, we get 12 cocktails up on our website and I'm tasting all of them to make sure that they taste good. So it's fun. That's for sure.
Yeah.
I don't like to have all of the extra sugars when you're mixing syrups and drinking that all week long, so I tend to like to just go for on the rocks, a couple dashes of bitters. It's extraordinary on its own. But what's also fun about St. Luna is that you can infuse it. So if you're looking for new flavors and new iterations of things that you want to play around with, you know, infuse it. Like, I love infusing St. Luna with coffee grinds.
Hmm.
And then just about 30 minutes with some coffee grinds, you strain it, it takes off all that beautiful coffee flavor. You know, that makes a killer espresso martini. That makes a fantastic Negroni. You know, I've had a couple cinnamon sticks that I've just added into the bottle for a day or two. And, you know, I've made mimosas with that, and that's pretty extraordinary. It's just, you can get really creative with
it. That sounds really good.
Yeah, it does sound good. Yeah, so it's a very versatile liquor.
It's very. And so I was actually in Chattanooga with Scott and his wife and his family for a couple of days, because we launched our brand down by them as well. And they had lived in Minnesota for a number of years as part of where Scott worked. They transferred him out that way. And so he had friends send him, like, freshly tapped maple syrup from their farms up in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. So we decided to roast walnuts, got them really charry, and added that to a bottle of St. Luna and infused that. And then we did maple old fashions with that walnut-infused St. Luna with some cherry bitters.
Oh, my goodness.
Fantastic.
Wow. Sounds good.
That does sound good.
All right.
I did learn that the technical term is research and development, right?
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
That's it.
In the business, it's, you know.
Yeah.
It's important.
All week long, and that's work.
That's it.
Yeah.
You have to do that.
So.
Okay,
I got that.
Yeah. Well, I just want to say that if you have any St. Luna swag, we wouldn't be, opposed to having any of it.
Yeah.
That is on the list, actually. So this year, because we're a pretty small startup, so mm-hmm. I only launched St. Luna May of 2019. And for that first year, I was fumbling around trying to figure out how to sell this. And you know, I certainly wasn't experienced in the industry, and just as I started to get the hang of it, COVID shut everything down. So, you know, in the last year or so, we've really come out of the gate pretty strong. So the first thing we did was I bought really cute barrels that we've got 5-liter barrels that some of our restaurants have done. Mm-hmm. Really amazing barrel-aged cocktails, and I think now for the spring we're looking at doing some swag.
Well, we'll be on the lookout for that, too, because John and I especially are, I call ourselves T-shirt whores, but that's probably not.
Yeah.
So this has been great. Our usual thing now is, unless you want to stick around, we will end our conversation with you, and then we will start our, because we haven't tasted it. We are saving that, the best for last, and doing that next.
I'd love to watch you guys taste.
Oh, all right. We will do that
okay.
then.
All
we
right.
We will get ourselves, if you don't mind waiting for a sec, we will get ourselves set up and we will do that.
Right. Well, we can certainly, we can set up for the neat stuff pretty
soon. Yeah, we can
easy.
Set up for the neat stuff really easily. So we always do that first. We aren't real big
cocktail people. We're really good at spilling, though.
We're real good at spilling.
Slide back here on the table.
Let's not break our glasses here.
Yeah.
Marlis's glasses.
Aubrey is the reason for the oleosaccharum. Just because we needed to be able to mail stuff out, and knowing that the post office took a couple of days, we wanted something relatively shelf stable we could mail.
Mm-hmm. Just let me get a tissue.
A tissue. Oh, you're gonna wipe up your table.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
This is one yours then?
All right.
No, that's yours.
I've got three there.
No, we only had I just put them all in three glasses. All right.
Sorry.
Organization is not our strong
here,
point.
Right?
Confusion,
gotcha.
All right.
You get a really, really big nose. I always think
that
the nose of St. Louis is quite deceiving because it's got a really big, robust smell. All of that beautiful molasses that's super fun. Sort of caramel and vanilla.
And considering, the ABV, it doesn't have that real alcohol burn your nose aroma either.
It definitely doesn't.
No.
And I always end up telling people what the ABV is after they've
Yeah. I could see some people not wanting to try it because the ABV is so high, but nothing scares us.
If you're a gin drinker, most gins are 47% alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I just don't realize that gins are pretty close to what we're doing. I think that it has a bit of a robust nose, but when you actually taste the spirit, it's quite delicate and soft.
Mm-hmm.
You get all the beautiful brassiness of sort of that rum, really, because it's 95% sugarcane based.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get a bit of that pepper and that spice from the rye in the back of your palate.
Mm-hmm.
I know, yeah, that's
definitely...
Rye always makes itself known. Hi, it says, I'm Rye. Yes, you are.
But cocktails-wise, you can dial into any of those flavors, and that's really what makes it so versatile.
Mm-hmm.
I'm dialing into that rum base. I'm making you things like a classic daiquiri or a pina colada that are just absolutely incredible. But, dial into that rye base and make you something like an old-fashioned or a Manhattan that's gorgeous, or... grapefruit oleosaccharum really is a riff on a Paloma, and we're sort of dialing into the smoky, leathery bit.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, that smoke that you would typically find in a tequila.
Yeah, I feel very warm now.
it's interesting because we did some rum tasting several episodes ago, and we all liked the smell, but the taste was kind of flat. I think this is tastier. This, I think I like the molasses better than the sugar cane.
It is. So it, you get a lot going on.
Uh-huh.
In this, like, you can pick out, you know, grapefruit, that vanilla, that caramel, that extra bit of funkiness, all in that spirit. And again, like, that's a blank canvas to create. So you can start flavor onto that. I mean, we added a couple slices of ginger and the cinnamon sticks and basically recreated Fireball, but an all natural version that was pretty tasty.
Yeah.
But again, this is tastier than like a vodka or something. You know, it has more personality, and a lot of that I think is the rye, that little touch of rye that gives it that spice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely, and that's why I tend to drink it on the rocks.
Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah, I could see myself drinking this on the rocks. For sure.
Especially a nice summer afternoon as you're sitting outside. Yeah, this would be...
One day it will be summer here.
I know, someday.
And it's delicate and soft. Yeah. All this beautiful flavor. I mean, speaking of vodka, you could go right into, make a killer mule. Because that caramel pairs beautifully with the ginger and the ginger beer.
Yeah, nice.
That's really complex, but it's...
I think we have some ginger
beer. Approachable, too. I like it.
I know.
So...
We make a beautiful mule.
So, Marlis, do you have your little shaker somewhere?
I do. Let me, you keep talking. I will make the drink.
Okay. And you need that can back there, too.
Right. Okay.
Here. We'll let Marlis be the mixologist.
Oh, perfect.
So danger, Will Robinson.
Yeah.
So, I'm fairly sure that grapefruit folio sacrum, I think I added an ounce, or 2 ounces rather, of St. Luna.
Oh.
So each one of those bottles is going to be 2 ounces of St. Luna and 1 ounce of the grapefruit sacrum.
Okay.
So empty that entire bottle into a shaker with ice and shake that up. And then strain that over clean ice and top it up with the grapefruit Pellegrino that I included in that bag.
Good, I can finish this. Okay,
now I put a little of the...
And I would also taste that with a little bit of ice, because it really does open up the beer quite a bit.
Okay.
Yeah, so top it, put a little bit on top of it. Just a little bit. Keep it. And then put a little ice in.
Okay.
Woohoo!
I have
ice. And that grapefruit oleo sacrum is so messy. I love stuff like that. You should leave it in the fridge for a couple of weeks. It just lasts for a couple of weeks and doesn't spoil.
That's good.
Well, it's still good after sitting in our cupboard.
Yeah.
We'll see if we've ruined your mixture by not putting...
There we go. Put that closer to the microphone, too.
One for you.
Let me take it.
You can steal it. I'm going to steal it from you. Mine. Yeah. You can't do it.
You know what? It smells lovely. It has a lovely floral aroma to me. What do you guys think?
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, I think that just the plain St. Luna also has some floral and fruit aroma, too. It's a really interesting... it really is different from just about anything else I've tasted.
And it is super unique. And I've always liked, you know, you're going to somebody's birthday party or you have a function that you're going to and you want to... know that they haven't tried, or that somebody else isn't going to show up with. So what do you think?
I like it. That tastes really good.
And like we said, we are not great cocktail drinkers. We're more just whiskey or whatever drinkers, but this is very tasty.
That's
it's
excellent.
Not overly sweet, but it's got a lot of flavor, and
don't like some people have an aversion to grapefruit, but you don't really get that.
You don't get grapefruit.
Yeah.
Kind of like bitterness or
hinge
that you get when you bite it.
This is a real mild, sweet, fruity flavor. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good.
You get just that little bit of undertone of bitter to it, but that's what makes it kind of nice.
Yeah.
I
think this is really nice.
You can pop that up with a grapefruit Pellegrino, and it's a beautiful summer cocktail.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
Nice. Yeah, because I'm not usually a grapefruit person, but I can't really tell that it's grapefruit. So this is
So she's happy.
Well, it's like when we tried that mixer a couple episodes ago, and it had pineapple, and you hate pineapple, but we couldn't really taste the pineapple.
It was pretty good.
It was really good.
We actually just launched all of our spring summer cocktails on our website, so there are loads of new stuff up there to play around with.
Nice. Oh, good. Yeah, we'll have to. Well, and you sent us your lovely brochure, and it has lots of, and then there was some other, it's over there, then had different cocktails on there, those would be nice to try. I have a friend who makes a really good bourbon
volcano?
Lemonade. No.
Lemonade, oh, yes.
Tamara's, so maybe we should ask her to use the moonshine instead. It would be really good.
I know. It would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. Well,
it works like a vodka, but with a bit more backbone and complexity.
I always thought vodka was for people who actually don't like liquor. You know?
By legal definition, it's colorless and tasteless.
So exactly. Yeah. You know, it's like, well, and then they started doing things like marshmallow vodka. And like, what's that about? You
Whipped cream vodka.
Yeah. No, that's just
promise says she won't do that to your moonshine.
No. Although, I will tell you, in my 20s, I loved a little bit of the orange Stoli.
All right. We all have things in our past that we regret. Yeah.
This has been great. I'm so happy that Sam contacted us and asked us to do this because you're on the East Coast, we would never have probably discovered
we wouldn't have run into this otherwise. So this is very cool.
This is great.
We do have a booster up west in LA that ships for us too, so we can definitely get to the West Coast as well.
Good.
We're up in Minnesota, South Dakota. Find us up that way. And then on our website, there's a shop now button all through our website. We can ship it to you.
Great.
Definitely follow us on our Instagram because we're always posting all the fun new places that we are. And we post all of our recipes as well.
All right.
I believe we do follow you on Instagram. So we will.
Cool.
Fantastic. And that, for everybody else, that address is very simple. It's St. Luna Spirits, just all spelled out. And that's our Instagram. And then our Facebook is St. Luna Moonshine, just because we couldn't get both. So we had to get creative there. And then our website is stlunaspirits.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Excellent. Well, gosh.
I think that's about it for me.
Yeah.
But I'm
really enjoying it, and we will enjoy it more. And so we really are glad that you were able to talk to us today. And we will send the once we have it all edited, we will send it to Sam, I guess. And just we like you guys to listen to it first and make sure there's nothing in there that you're like, no, we don't want you to say that. But you were here the entire time. You heard everything we said. So I'm sure we'll be all right. But just to give you a heads up, and then we'll also let her know when we actually post it online so that everyone can hear it.
Oh, how exciting. Thank you all so much. I'm so glad you like it.
We really did.
This is very fun.
We'll go pester Total Wine and see.
Total Wine here in Olympia.
Here, yeah.
And just so you know, you said you were in Hoboken. My father was born in Lodi. He grew up in Hackensack. I've had family. Yeah, my aunt was a music teacher there in, I think it was in Lodi. And my uncle was a lawyer.
Great place. I'm so close to the city. I get in and out when I need to, but then I base for way less money. And when you're on this entrepreneurial journey, all that stuff makes a difference.
Well, good luck to you and your company. We will be following you and be your fans from behind.
Thanks. This is something new. It's not often that we get to taste something new. So this is just very cool. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Well, you have
a lovely afternoon. Hopefully it's bright and sunny like it is here.
No.
Yeah, it's kind of gray.
It's Washington.
Dark.
Have you been to Washington?
I have not, actually. actually.
It's overcast. At least it's not pouring
It's raining, though.
It's drizzling, yeah. And it's overcast, but that is a typical 9 months out of the year. So come July 4th, it'll be great.
Netflix and cocktails.
Yes, exactly.
Yep, definitely. Well, thank you very much, David, and you have a lovely evening.
Skol.
Oh, you too. Right, thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Take care.